We have a very lovely, wonderful associate minister that is going to speak for you. Am I supposed to announce you right now? Oh, good. I'm glad I'm doing things in the right order. So this is great because four of us came in at the same time, associate ministers. I wanted them to all come in on the same day, but we all came in at our own time, which is great, within a few months of each other. And, is it a pleasure to be with somebody that's so upbeat and happy and just wonderfully talented and close to spirit and great and just wonderful healer. Oh, my goodness, she's the chair with me on the healing committee, which is like, oh my God, is that awesome or what? And she teaches healing classes with Kimberly, right? And then other healing classes with Kimberly. And she teaches other than just our curriculum, which is great. So she's going outside of her boundaries. She welcomes you in. She's a party animal. She's a great businesswoman, and she directs traffic in the sky so they don't run into each other, and she does it all. She's got her daughter in the back with her boyfriend and another daughter at home and a husband at home and a couple of dogs and a whole bunch of other. She juggles a lot of stuff. Really, she is great. This woman, I just love her to bits, and I'm hoping to spend the next 30 years of my life here at the church with her. Really, please welcome Associate Minister Jody Votel.
That was quite an intro. Yay, Penny. So I help the people who tell the planes where to go. I don't think I've never done that job, so it would be a really bad idea to have me to start doing it now. But I'm busy. You made me remember. I'm busy. I have a lot of stuff going on. Kimber and I really enjoy teaching the classes because one of my favorite teaching models is dual teachers because it gives me two people to not get sick of. And if I'm, if maybe one doesn't suit me, the other one does, and we've gotten really good feedback that they like the tag team stuff. I do, too. So, yeah, if you ever get a chance, come and join us. I think we got a class coming up. I think it's this Sunday. So, I just flew in from Bellingham, and boy, are my arms tired. Oh, I just had a great trip up to Bellingham to see Rita Gray. Who knows Rita Gray? Yeah, I got some special, beautiful time with Rita. And that's always a nice way to collect your thoughts and feel centered and balanced to come here and talk to you guys. So I'm grateful, I'm honored. It's a privilege to be able to have people here who actually want to hear what I have to say. Yay! At work, I give briefings, and people don't want to go. And, it's a tough crowd. I like going there because it's a tough crowd, but I like even more when thank you for coming, because it's your choice, put it that way. So I couldn't help but notice, all the songs were, I think every song in this book is upbeat, but there was probably a point in every single one of these songs that I would want to make. Like, Here I Am, Lord, is about asking God to use you. I believe, I've had that song in my head. Barbara played it when she played The Rose, and she played I Believe, and I've had that song in my head all week, so thank you for playing it, because I got to kind of sing it a little bit. And I believe in fairies, too. And I don't believe in spooks. And I'm high as a kite, so Let's Go Fly a Kite worked really, really well for me, too. My favorite things, and let's see, there was one more. Where is it? I have a point, I promise.
44.
My favorite things. Yeah, and Top of the World and Raindrops Falling on My Head. We went walking in the rain yesterday. It was really neat. It was warm, and you get to walk in the rain. So, I think that's what I wanted to talk about was walking and our walk. Because here we are on Earth, and we're walking our path. Everybody's got their path that they're walking, And we really only have control over our own, you know, how we choose to walk our walk. We can't really pick somebody else's walk for them. We can't, certainly can't fix them out of it, right? So, and if you come to this church, if you've been to this church and you've heard the thoughts, you know, everybody's got their, Millie will say it too, everybody's got their own walk, and we don't know what that is, and it's not for us to judge. The only thing we're allowed to judge is who we want in our lives, who and what we want in our lives. So that's the one place we can judge. But I really like the raindrops keep falling on my head because, you know, here he is. The raindrops are falling on his head, and he did some talking to the sun. Well, gee, like who's up there, right? He's talking to the sun and says, I don't like the way you get things done sleeping on the job. How many of us have said that to whatever we want to call God, whatever word we use for God? What are you, asleep? Where are you? You're sleeping on the job, dude. But the raindrops kept falling and kept falling. But he stayed positive and said, there's one thing I know. I'm not going to let the blues defeat me. And it won't be long until I'm happy again, until happiness steps up to greet me. And he says, the raindrops keep falling on my head, but that doesn't mean I'm going to start crying about it. You know? So, and I love this line, I'm never going to stop the rain by complaining. So, I mean, complain all you want, the rain is not going to stop, right? Just saying. So, but he's free and nothing's worrying him, you know? And how do you get to that place where nothing is worrying you? Because everybody says, oh, you just got to get to know yourself, you know, or go to church. And a lot of people, I'll be happy when I get there, or I'll be happy when I'm this, or I'll be happy when I've lost 15 pounds. I'll be happy when I get that promotion. I'll be happy when I'm in the house that I want or the car that I want. But the reality is that right now is the time to be happy. This is the time. This is the present moment. It's all we have. I know it's a cliche, but it's really true. You don't have anything but right now. The past is gone, and the future is an intention away. And what you create is what you're thinking about right now. So why wouldn't we want to focus our thoughts now and focus our intentions now on the things that we want? And so there's that Top of the World song, right? Because that was 44, you said. Everything I want the world to be is now coming true, especially for me. And the reason is clear. It's because you are here. You're the nearest thing to heaven that I've seen. So I have an idea of what that is, and I think it is, for my heart, it's this you, you know. We're the nearest thing to heaven. Like you're made of God. You're made of all the pieces that everything else is made of, right? You're made of the stuff that they find in stars and in planets and in dirt and in other animals and in plants and... You are a part of God, and inside of you and outside of you is God. You're a walking black hole for God. There's the sacred geometry, you know, and that tetrahedron, that Star of David, three-dimensionalized, right? And all these calculations, the golden spiral, that it's a calculation that never stops. You can divide infinitely and multiply infinitely. And it will never, ever, ever stop calculating in either direction. You could have a computer running that program for 50 years and it would just be more infinite. It would be expansive and infinitely. And you have that calculation inside of your body. You contract infinitely and expand infinitely. So you are a part of God. And so now it's coming true, especially for me. So there's a plan for me. And if you hang around this church long enough, you'll get the idea that you had a say in this whole plan, right? Like you pick your parents and that whole bit. But there is a plan for us while we're here. And, you know, we can complain about the rain, or we could ask what the rain has to show us. So here's an example of a walk. I want to share a little bit of mine. I think the last time I was here, how long should I go? Till quarter after, you think? About a quarter after?
Okay. Whatever
you feel like it. Is that? Oh, okay, cool. I like that even more.
Go to two after.
Oh, yeah. All right. I'll try 15 and see how I do. Okay. So I went to Rita Gray's house in December 2012. Woo! And it was that whole shift thing, right? And we didn't make any plans. We didn't know what we were going to do. And when I got there, she said, "Hey, you know, we're thinking about going to see this movie over at the Center for Spiritual Living, the CSL up there in Washington. And it's about this guy, John of God." Who's heard of John of God? Okay, so I'll tell you a little bit about him because it was amazing. So, of course, I'm like, yes, I will do. So we go there, and the guy is from, he lives in Brazil. And he has a healing center in Brazil. There's a documentary about him, and this gal brought back the documentary because the person giving the presentation had just gotten back from there. And it was so cool. And so the documentary told you about this guy's life, and he started healing when he was, 7 or 10, something like that. Huh?
What's the name of the
John of God. I don't know his other name. John of God? Okay. Yeah. Do the Brazilians, you guys know who he is, right? Okay. You better. Okay. So he had worked with these, you know, spirit guides that had been doctors and priests, and, you know, and he would ask them to come work with him. You know, like we're supposed to ask spirit to help us. And he performs these immaculate healings. One of the things I saw him doing was doing a cataract surgery with a pocket knife. No anesthetic, nothing. And the person was fine. People sing this guy's accolades. And what was really cool about it is there's a room where you go to help him hold the energy. So he's got mediums in there or healers or whatever, right? And they're all holding the energy so that he could do his work because, you know, you got to build the vibration, right? You got to raise your vibration so that they can come and meet us. And so that whole room, and then there's the people that are getting healed. And there was water. So this woman had brought back water from John of God's healing center in Brazil. And she just put a little bit and mixed it with more water. But I drank some of that water. And I am, in my heart of hearts, know that was a molecular shift for me, you know, that water was truly, truly blessed. And it started a series of events that have changed my life. So 2012, 13, 14, so it's almost 3 years now, right? And the other cool thing was he said about healing is that you've got to bring 51%. He can bring 49 if he has to. If you can bring 80% to the experience, belief, enthusiasm, happiness, he's super happy because that helps him do more healing and do more work. But the maximum he can do is 49 because you've got to get up off your hiney and do some of it yourself. We've got to get up off our rear ends and walk our walk. Put one foot in front of the other and walk this walk that we're here to do. So I started putting one foot in front of the other. That whole visit, I cried and cried and cried and cried. I didn't even know why I was crying. I cried and cried and cried and cried and cried. And I looked back later. I was cleaning out pictures in my computer. And that year had been so busy. my oldest daughter, Veronica, was graduating, and just a graduation year alone is exhausting. I mean, it was exhausting for my wallet, and it was exhausting. I mean, this was my first. I was going to have a first, and then I'll have a last, because I went two. And we threw parties, and then in the middle of all of it, I decided to plan a road trip up the California coast. So, I mean, and then I'm trying to say yes to all these things, because I think I'm supposed to say yes and put myself out there, and, you know, and it ended up really making me a little unbalanced, a lot unbalanced. Yeah. And so that visit was the beginning of when I realized that I was going through something. And then some family stuff, you know. I mean, I had somebody say, well, your life looks perfect. And I'm like, wow, you know, thank you for the reflection. But I've, you know, so what I did was started looking at my daughter and, like, I don't know, because she was growing older. And you know that thing that happens with teenagers and girls, too. So now there's two girls in the house. And, you know, she's the princess, but I'm the queen, right? I'm the queen. And so there was a particular occasion where a really innocent exchange happened that turned so ugly, and I turned into probably the ugliest person I've ever seen in my life. Veronica would tell you. It's okay. You could tell him. It was awful because my husband happened to side with her on something, and that was just broke me, because I'm like, I'm your wife, you know, and you're supposed to be on my side. And he didn't budge, and it made me so mad, and I was supposed to apologize to Veronica, and I screamed in her ear so loud that her ear rung for days. It's you know, I can laugh at myself now, but it was not pretty. It was not pretty. And I've apologized and she's forgiven me, but I'm ashamed of myself. I was ashamed of who that person was. But she had a lot of stuff that she wasn't realizing was going on with her, you know, me. So that kind of started the event, right? So then I take my family to the therapist and I say, you have to tell these people how messed up they are. But I used the F word, not the M word. How messed up they are, because nobody's helping me, blah, 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 blah. And she made it through that appointment and then said, hey, so Jody, when can you come back? You know, I was like, me? And needless to say, you know, there were some things, you know how when you're growing up, like God's gift to kids is that you don't know any different than what you're in. And it's only until you grow up and get older that you start to kind of hear other people's stories, and you're kind of like, well, hey, wait a minute, that wasn't my experience. And then all of a sudden, what happened to you starts to be not okay. And I had some not okays in my life. And but I never really realized it. And I never really realized how it was ruling me every day of my life. I learned to be bullied because I had a brother who suffered from a mental illness, and so he was very physically violent and made sure that I didn't fight back. He said, this is for fighting back, and then hit you some more. And so I learned how to be bullied, and so I walked through my life being bullied. I attracted bullies because that was what I was saying to the world, is I am your punching bag. And I didn't even know I was saying it. I was asleep in that respect. And so going through all that work of really looking at myself and really reconciling some of those old not okays in a grown-up eyes, and looking back with my grown-up eyes and saying, oh my gosh, that wasn't even my fault. It wasn't my responsibility. You know, when you're 10 and you have grown-ups that are there to be responsible, you're not responsible, you see? So, you know, did I do something to get my brother to beat me? No, right? So that's the kind of, some things just aren't our fault, but we grow up thinking that they are.
And I've met a lot of people who've woken up to the fact that, oh, it's not my fault. Like, when you see, I see my daughters at that. Now, I hadn't gone through this shift when Veronica was, you know, 12 and 13. But when Vivian was, I looked at her and I thought, oh, that's how old I was? You know, look how young I was. How could that be my fault? Right? So letting go of the things that don't even belong to me. And we left it in the junkyard, you know. We rode the train, we left them in the junkyard. And all those negative things. So I did a lot of work. For a whole year, I went every week to therapy and worked through these reconciliations with myself and learned that I was, and learned to believe that I was awesome, that I am worth it, that my needs and feelings are not an inconvenience. I'm allowed to have needs. I'm allowed to have feelings. I'm allowed to ask questions. I'm allowed to get more information. So that was a walk, right? And what was the catalyst for it? That horrible, horrible fight. And I made an absolute ass out of myself. But look what happened because of it. So raindrops are going to fall on your head. But it's our job to let the raindrops fall on our head. You know? That's the walk. And walking, you know, you, especially when you can do it with God, especially when you have a place like this. I mean, I really like this church because it's so gentle and so kind and so loving. And the concepts here are so scientific and quantum. They're so quantum. And so it really helps. If I was going to give somebody advice of what to do, you know, how do you get to the place where you say everything, the world is everything for me, right? Everything I want the world to be is now coming true, especially for me. So you put yourself in a position to be able to connect and make that connection, because that was the connection for me that was so important. I was so glad to have the spiritual learning that I had. In order to go through the therapy, that really helped. So this is a good foundation into knowing, getting to know yourself and getting to know that you are a part of God. And you're as close as it gets. And I want to read this. This is from the Gnostic Gospel of Thomas. It was from the Dead Sea Scrolls. Jesus said, "If those who draw you say to you, 'Lo, the kingdom is in heaven,' then the birds of heaven will precede you. If they say to you, 'It is in the sea,' then the fish will precede you. But the kingdom is within you and outside you. When you know yourselves, then you will be known. And you will know that you are the sons of the living Father. But if you do not know yourselves, then you are in poverty, and you are poverty." And I mean, it's not a damnation, more than a reflection to say, you know, when we're in that place where we're feeling bad, that's poverty. I was in poverty. I was in emotional poverty because I didn't even know that I was allowed to love myself. I had no idea. You know, I mean, you do it on the surface until you have an event that helps you dig a little bit deeper and take those steps. And I would encourage anyone to embrace those hard times, knowing that it's something to walk through. And like, life is like a Ferris wheel, right? And as you grow spiritually, you get a bigger and bigger Ferris wheel. So what's the one in England, the London Eye? Is that what it is? That thing's huge, isn't it, Veronica? How long does it take to get around it?
Well, I got stuck at the top because there was technical difficulties and operative height, so I don't remember how long it took.
Okay. At least an hour.
Like an hour.
Okay. All right.
They want you to stop so you can
So
life is like cycles, right? Everything's a cycle, right? And so you're on your little Ferris wheel, you know, and that was me on the little hamster wheel. You know, running the hamster wheel, and my Ferris wheel would go up and down and up and down and up and down, and I would like be devastated when it would go, this is so hard, and then it would go up again. And, yay, look, I can see the view. You know, yay. All right, so how many of our lives are like that, right? But as you grow spiritually and as you get to know yourself better, then the up is so much longer, and you spend so much time up there. And then you know, when you know that you come through the bottom half of it, and you're either going to go straight through and go back up again for the Ferris wheel, or you're just going to stop for a minute. Load, unload, right? Load, unload, whatever it is. New ideas, old ideas, right? So it's like a Ferris wheel. So I think that what I'm trying to say is that walk your walk. Love yourself while you walk. Enjoy who you are. Believe what other people tell you. And if you want tips on how to help yourself believe it more, come and talk to me later, because I'll share even more. I could talk for another hour about that walk. It was well worth it, and it was not easy. It wasn't easy, but it was so worth it to come to the other side where I'm awake. I'm awake. I got glasses for the first time. I don't know how long I was blind, but I couldn't see. I was like 19. I had moved out of the house, and I couldn't see the board at Finkelstein and Wasserman Food Service taking orders for the convalescent homes for Oleos and crackers. And I would try to see the board. What does that say? And they're like, you can't see that. Can you? And they... Yeah, it says blah, la 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 la. I was like, oh, man, you better go get your eyes checked. So I go get my eyes checked at the Sherman Oaks Galleria, because I was living in L.A. And, of course, the glasses weren't ready because this was back in the 80s. And when I went back to get my glasses and I put them on, and there was leaves on the trees. That's what I feel like right now, because I had this... I've been able to lift some of this garbage and take out the trash a little bit and open my eyes and be able to see what I didn't see before, you know? Like, sell the old furniture so you can make room for new furniture, right? Ooh, so I hope that you guys enjoyed my random babblings. It's really fun to share. Thank you.